Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Oh, so we're waiting on our third, Jacob, who is always late.
Yep, he's useless.
That one of the
and
group.
And you can talk shit about him. You can talk shit about him. We're fine with that. Matter of fact, we suggest you do it.
When he shows up, get really offended.
How dare you?
No, like,
you
pretend
son of a
you're
bitch.
Seriously offended.
Maybe like,
I have
I'll
shit to do.
I just want to see what happens if someone actually really acts offended. I just want to see what his real reaction would be. I bet it's going to be fucking hilarious. Oh, man.
I guess we'll find out, because what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast, and we are we're going on with this show. Aki is here. Jacob is not here yet, but our good friend Matt Hackett is on the show. Richtar, how are you doing, sir?
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here.
For the people who don't know who you are and why you're here.
Wait, hold on. How are you, though? That was the question. Oh. Then you never answered it. How are you?
I'll give the default answer, the expected. I'm fine. I'm good. Everything's great. The world's not on fire, and my health is 100%. Everything's perfect.
Okay, that's good enough. All right, now we can go ahead and continue now.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It's all good. Aki, do you want to ask the question?
No, because I already forgot what it was.
Oh, Jesus. For the people who don't know who you are and why you're here, please tell us, Matt, who are you, why are you here, and what have you done with my family?
You'll never find them. They're in the basement.
Oh, that's where I was going to look.
Great question. You and I know each other from back in the day. We were both part of Overclocked Remix and VG Music and MAGFest, big music gaming nerds. I'm a game developer. I used to be a web developer, and I pivoted hard. Was it 2010 or something? I was like, what am I doing with my life? I have to make video games. So I went all in. I'm one of these indies obsessives. I've got a few games on Steam. I'm working on a new one. If anyone's ever heard of me or anything I've worked on, it's probably through Lost Decade Games, who made A Wizard's Lizard on Steam. We also had a podcast we ran for 6 or 7 years called Lost Cast. Which used to be like an HTML5, it's like web tech stuff, but it turned into basically just two dudes talking about games and failing at business, because eventually we went out of business. After that, I went and worked for a company for several years, cranking out games for them, and I couldn't stand it, basically, so I went back to work for myself, so I'm independent again. I wrote a book, which I'm here to promote. It's called How to Make a Video Game All by Yourself. It's on Amazon. It's a paperback. It's $15. And yeah, I'm working on my next game. It's going to take a while. But that's me, Matt Hackett. You can find all my work at valadria.com, VALADRIA.com. There's a newsletter and a blog and a podcast. It's all good.
Dropping bits! Oh, we just got bits dropping in chat. Victor, thank you so much for dropping 100 biddies. Matt, sorry to cut you off, but you know, when people drop biddies...
I will shut my mouth for 100 biddies.
Gotta give the shout out. Pat, thank you so much. Love seeing you in chat. Pat and Matt.
Biddies for Joe's big titties.
Yes, biddies for Joe's titties. No, for Pickle and his dork ass face that we're still paying the fucking vet bills on.
Joe, did I hear you have 13 cats? Forever ago. Shit.
What was that?
Did I hear you have 13 cats? Surely that was a joke.
No, yeah, I don't have 13 cats. That would be ridiculous.
How many, though?
How many are you up to? 17?
14.
Come on. What is it?
14.
14 cats
no.
Is entirely 14 too many.
14.
Jesus.
You're serious.
14 yeah. Cats.
Wow, that's definitely a new record. I think before that, my other friend has 5, which I thought was like plenty. 14. Wow.
Five is too many.
We were at 13 for a few years and we were good. And then Number 14 just showed up on our porch like 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and it was getting really cold, and like he was getting really, really skinny, and like he used to be an indoor cat because he's like a Persian.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you're an adopter. Like a cat shows up and you can't help yourself, and you absorb the new cats. Is that
correct?
Yeah,
we're constantly evaluating the talent that's on our back porch, wondering who's going to make the call up to an indoor cat.
You have like a little competitive reality show. The cats have to compete and perform obstacles. And
I wish I were joking, but there are presently four cats outside who routinely show up on our porch hanging out, and Ashley leaves food out there because, you know, we're part of the problem. And we have shelters back there and everything else. Three of them have names already. So that's never a good sign.
Well, once it gets
so you actually have 18 cats now.
No, they're still saying. Outside. They're still outside cats. They're still out.
So you have four outside cats, which makes your total 14.
That's what I'm hearing still. As well.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we have 18 cats, 14 indoor, 4 outdoor.
Wow.
I guess.
You have too many damn cats. Yeah.
We do have too many cats. We honestly thought a few of them would have died by
them
now.
To your friends. Give them to your friends. Make them.
No.
Take care of some cats.
They're our babies.
Aww.
They're our family.
You guys have too many babies.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not wrong.
I can't believe Jacob is still not here. We're 10 minutes
in. he's fucking useless, of course.
I'm going to ping him on Facebook and find out what the hell he's doing. So, Matt, this...
Oh, I got to retweet you.
This book that you wrote, tell us, what is it, and how do you make a video game all by yourself?
Yeah. Oh, I love this question. Thanks for that. Yeah. So how to make a video game all by yourself. I'm holding it in my hands now. It's a 6x6 inch paperback. It's glorious, shiny orange. It's 200 pages. It's meant to be lean. It's meant to be tight. It is evergreen, meaning it'll last forever. It's useful today. It'll be useful 100 years from now. It's platform agnostic, meaning you can use whatever you want. You can use Game Maker. You can use Unreal, Unity, write your engine from scratch. It's 10 organized chapters. It walks you through each step. It's very enthusiastic, but it also gives you that tough love of like the reality of making a game by yourself. The way this book works too is it's set up to where like you don't have to actually make every single thing, right? You don't have to like make all the sprites, all the music, all the sound effects. You don't even have to like write code if you don't want to. There's a million ways to make a game these days, and this book is pretty high level and just kind of walks you through the really important bits that are applicable no matter what you're doing, right? Like, you know, I'm a programmer and an artist, and I also dabble with some sound stuff. I'm a game designer. I don't really make much music. I don't do anything 3D, you know, and like all this stuff applies to me, but it would just as well apply to someone who, you know, made their game using Blueprints and Unreal, or like even if you outsource like all your art and stuff, like the things in the book should still apply.
I'm kind of surprised that you don't work on any music, considering I know you through music.
I know. You know what happened is, you know, Joshua Morse, he yes. is so good and we're great friends and he's just the best. And like, by the time I can even be like, hey, Josh, I'm working on this project, he's like done. He's already made the whole, like he has literally made entire soundtracks for games I never finished because he's amazing and I'm a garbage person, right? Like I don't always finish what I start, and I can't shut my mouth sometimes, and I'll tell him about a project before like I've even figured out what exactly it is. You know, I think it's an RPG, and then I pivot to like, oh no, actually it's a RTS or something. And he's like, I already made the music, man. But I think because of that, also like, I don't know, like being part of Overclocked Remix and VG Music, you're exposed to people like, I don't know, like Jake Kaufman or Dale North, who are just like, and Joshua, right? Who are just they're so powerful music wise.
They have blown up too. Like Jake and Dale they're becoming household names in the video game music community.
They are the composers that people are talking about, the way we used to talk about Uematsu back in the day, right? Or Yuzo Koshiro, like that's them now. Like we are of those ages where like they're carrying the torch, right?
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
Like I make music, I actually bought myself a really nice Korg Cross 2, and I dabble and I play around. But like, when I make my own stuff, like, I can hear it. I know it's not great. And then Joshua sends me a song, and I'm like, this is 100 times better than what I made. So I get back to the stuff I am pretty good at. Like, I'm very good at programming. I like my art. I know it's not the best in the world, but I like to do it, and it's good enough for me. Whereas, like, my music is kind of not good enough for me. You know what I mean? Like, I hear it, and I'm like, It's still fun, though. Like, I still make music just because it's a good time. Like, I'll never not love doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to get much better at it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in my 40s now. Like, if I was going to be amazing by now.
We ain't kids anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're not spring chickens.
It's cool that you did a podcast for like 7 years, because next week, actually, we're hitting year 10.
Ooh. Well, congrats. Yes. Yeah, I saw you're in the 800s now.
Yeah, we are.
Good for you. Congrats. That's
I can't
huge.
Tell if that's good or depressing. And a little both, I guess.
Well, look at it this way. Like, I did a podcast for 6 or 7 years. We got to episode like 240 or something, and we stopped it. And then like years later, I have another podcast now called Make the Game, where I feel like I'm fighting back for that audience I used to have. Right. And like you kept it going. Like, I'm trying to get back to a place where you currently are. You know what I mean? So don't feel bad about anything with your like, oh, should I be bad about 10 years or whatever? No. Awesome. Like, I wish I had just kept, you know, been able to keep Lostcast going that whole time. But instead, I'm starting over, but I still think podcasts are awesome. Your podcast is awesome. Like, no, keep it going. It's amazing.
Well, thank you for the kind words about our awful show. Tell us more about your show. Like, what do you talk about on your podcast?
Yeah, so Make the Game. I'm on season 2 now. I think I just published episode 17. So it's just me this time around.
Oh,
I do talk
up to
people
us.
Once in a while. Yeah, I'll be there in no time. I just got to start cranking them out. Make the Game, I'm trying to keep it all about just kind of general game development. No topic is off the table, you know. For me, it's mostly solo game development because I'm on my own now. So I talk about all the things that I've got to handle. Like, a big part of it is multitasking. A big part of it is marketing, even though I don't want to do that stuff, right? Like, the marketing I don't do for
no
fun.
One
I
does.
Do it because I kind of have to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we do
that
it because we need to.
That shit is so boring. It sucks.
Yeah. I had a friend who described it. He was like, marketing is mostly just filling out forms. And I was like, oh, God, you're kind of right. Like, you know, you're putting your game
and
out there.
And talking to a bunch of people that you'd rather not.
Right.
Doing podcasts.
Yeah, you're typing
you
in boxes.
I mean.
Oh,
I
want
to be
too,
here. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so sorry that you want to be here. That's sad. I'm so sorry. Oh, that hurt my
heart.
Funny.
We had, so on Lostcast, we had this theme going where we called it Deprecast. And what we would do is we would self-deprecate, right? And we did this all the time enough to where there's at least 2 episodes I can think of that we called, like I think one of them is called Deprecast 2. But we would self-deprecate so much that it became like a term, like a thing. And my friend and I had to physically be like, we are not going to talk shit about ourselves anymore because we're awesome and we love what we're doing. Right, like I think it was just a tweak to our outlook and how we're thinking about this stuff. But at some point, we were like, because with you guys, your podcast is awesome. I'm not gonna listen to you without complaining about you saying it's shit because I think it's cool as hell.
Well, let's just keep in mind what SML has meant for the past 2 years now. Someone might listen. So
2 years
that should tell you.
You think it's meant that for 2 years?
How long have I been here? Have I been here longer than 2 years?
That was named on episode like 25.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it before? What was it? What were the
small, medium, large?
I thought
medium,
it was originally small, medium, large. And yeah. I thought it was like that for like the first few hundred episodes.
No, it ended on 20. That's when we had the contest to rename the show. And
I love that. That's... It's kind of full circle. It reminds me of MAGFest, how MAGFest used to be the Mid-Atlantic Gaming Festival.
Yeah.
And now it's the Music and Gaming Festival. I love that.
Were you there recently? Have you been to MAGFest recently?
Oh, my God. Not in so long. I think I've been 3 times. It is one of my favorite conferences. I think the only conference I've been to as many times is maybe PAX and maybe CAX, California Extreme in California. But geez, it's been a minute, man. This most recent one, did you go? I saw Mustin
went.
Yes,
I am what you refer to as a lumberjack. I have been to all 20 MAGFest events.
Do you mean you've never missed one?
Entirely too many.
Jeez, wow.
There are six of us who've been to all 20.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, up until last year, wasn't there more? Wasn't last year where you lost a whole bunch of them?
Last year, we lost like three or four because of the pandemic, which it sucks, but you know, you missed one. Sorry.
Where are they at now?
No longer part of the quote-unquote cool club.
Yeah, the cool
club. Did you lose your card? They tore your card up.
We should make cards.
Yeah, and it should have all of your names on the back, just everyone who's there. And then the moment someone's gone, just cut their card up and make new cards for all of other people. That'd be fantastic.
So you went, yeah? How was it?
It was good for what I got to enjoy until I got sick. And it wasn't until COVID. I got home that we realized it was COVID, yeah.
Oh, bummer, man.
Yeah. So I got the cooties at the con. I feel like I'm still recovering. It feels like I'm always just constantly fighting like a sniffle for like the past
now. You probably have long COVID then.
Maybe. Who knows? I'm not testing positive, though. So.
Well, that's long good. COVID, I think, really just refers to you still have lots of the symptoms of it without actually having it because it's destroyed your system so badly.
Maybe.
And people can have that up to over a year.
I'm gonna die soon. Do, do, do,
do. Maybe. You never know.
Aki, you ready to take the show over?
Why me? I'm terrible at 90% of the shit you do.
Because who the fuck else showed up tonight?
Fair enough. I guess I'm as ready as I'm ever.
Richard, you want a podcast?
I'll absorb it. I'll kind of like I'm doing with Lost Cat. You and I did. I actually put a bumper. I wrote this script, so it downloads all 250 so podcast episodes. I wrote a script that will then take the WAV files and shove a little pre-roll in the beginning of it, and I use that to like advertise my new podcast. So I'm still kind of like trying to absorb the old podcast, or at least like leverage that old audience we used to have.
I think we spent $5 on a Facebook ad the one time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Nothing.
I've never spent ads before. Like I've been publishing games since 2014, like on Steam and stuff. I've never purchased any ads except for my book, which I finally purchased some. I was running Amazon ads actually around Christmas time, and they worked out great. I was shocked. Like the ads were paying for themselves. It was amazing. But that dried up after Christmas. I think it's because around Christmas time, this little, you know, cute little book is like, you know, oh, I've got a nephew or something, you know, like my niece is getting into game dev, or she mentioned something about, you know, probably Roblox or what's that new one, the Game Maker Garage that's on Switch. You know, like, I think a lot of kids are getting into, like, interest in game dev. And then I think my book was easy to sell around Christmas time because it's cheap and it's small and, yeah, the ads were working really well. But other than that, yeah, like I've never spent ads in anything. Who's got money for that?
It's only $15 on Amazon, right?
That's right. Yeah. It's doing pretty good on Amazon. It's, what's it got? It just passed 69 reviews. 72 reviews or ratings.
69, nice.
Yeah, just recently.
You should have blocked it at 69 reviews.
Just put a cap on it.
I unpublished it. Shut it down. I'm all done now.
We hit the max. We're all done. Wrap it up.
But that was my goal from the beginning. I wanted to get 69 ratings and then shut it down. Yeah.
See, now you have to get 420 because it's just necessity now.
Yeah, that's just the way to
go. Now you have to go to 420. It's just is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no middle ground at all. No
middle. It took me 10 months to get to 73 ratings. So, oh man, I'll be talking to you guys. It'll be like 2030. I'll be
we'll still be going, I'm sure.
as long as Joe keeps drawing breath, we will keep going. Because I like free games. So it's not like I'm leaving.
As long as we can reanimate Joe's corpse, this fucking thing is not ending.
I will Frankenstein you. I can manage.
Weekend at Bernie's me. Just like put strings on my arms and be like, "What's up, everybody?"
Just put some sunglasses on you.
I could probably do that. I can grab sound clips and just make it pretend like you're still alive. However, I am starting to get worried about this fuck nugget. Where is he? Has he responded to any?
He hasn't. I'm guessing that he just fell asleep, or he's playing Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Useless fucker! Jesus. If I could punch him in the face, I'd kick him in the balls so hard.
Like, I kind of want to just call him on the phone.
Do it. He is so damn late. And if he doesn't pick up the first time, just keep doing it until you've done it 5 times. At some point, he will pick up within those 5 times, unless he's killed
Jacob
over or something.
Garner.
Maybe someone else already kicked him in the ghoulies. You're really doing it? Yes!
Love it.
And now we don't hear anything. Damn.
No, you don't hear it?
I heard a ring. I heard
one ring. We go. We heard it that time.
Okay. Yeah, it's going.
Hello?
What's up?
Not much. I'm lying in bed. Really crap. What's up?
It's,
is it 9 o'clock already?
It's 9:24.
Cool. All right. I'll be over.
All right. Talk to you in a few.
Did he fall asleep?
Well, yeah, he just woke up. I don't know how much of that you guys, like, how much the mic picked up and how much Discord. I don't know how.
A little bit of it, but not much.
Yeah, he basically just woke up. He's like, is it 9 o'clock yet?
So how much do you bet? Do you think he's just going to immediately pop on here, or do you think he's going to go poo first?
I don't know. We'll find out.
God,
should
that
we take
is
bets?
Go, right?
I mean, yes.
Now go, taking poo go. Bets.
We should hurry this along just so we can be like, why weren't you here for the interview? I want him to be here completely after the interview just so we can rag on him the entire rest of the episode.
Nah, I like Matt. I like having Matt.
Whenever you want. Yeah. Well,
tell us
if
more.
It makes it funnier.
What are you, like, what are you doing these days game wise? What are you working on? We're Xbox fans on this show, so we got to know, are there any Xbox plans for any of your games?
Yeah, Xbox is probably, I would call it like tier 2 console to get on as far as like ease for indies. From my understanding, is the easiest one to get on right now is Nintendo Switch, which by easy is still, when you compare it to publishing a game on Steam, is still way, way harder.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like night and day. Like, you know, I've got a Steam, I don't have a Steam page yet for my next game. It's called Witchmoor. But I do, like, I've paid the Steam fee, and I've entered the, you know, like you were saying, marketing is just typing into forms. Steam has like 1,000 forms you have to fill out before your Steam page goes live. Switch has some kind of backends, I believe, that lets indies kind of fill in some information, but I think you have to go through like a human, which slows everything down, right? And Xbox has had, you know, ever since back in the day on Xbox 360, they had Xbox Live Indiecade, right? X-Blig, wasn't that what it was called?
Xbox Live Indie Games?
Yeah, that one. That was a, like a godsend for indies back in the day. I don't think that exists in that form it used to anymore.
Isn't ID at Xbox basically the...
Yeah, well, that would be the new... Yeah, that'd be the new way to do it. And, you know, again, you, like, as far as I know, you have to like go through people and you have to be, you know, approved and all that. Also with consoles, there's sometimes they insist on you getting and paying for an expensive rating, whether it's ESRB or something else. You have to pass more certification like QA. Sometimes they have more localization requirements. A lot of times there's work required for your game to change things from, like, you know, press the A button needs to be, oh, you know, on Xbox, that's actually the Y button and all that stuff. If you have graphics that shows a gamepad, it needs to be an Xbox gamepad. There's like a million, you know, things you've got to check off a list. And it's honestly, as a solo developer, consoles aren't even on my radar anymore, sadly. Yeah. When I was working at Lost Decade Games, pardon me, we did have a Wii U dev kit. But we picked, like, we were a little too early or too late, depending on how you look at it. But, like, you know, if Switch was the thing that we were working on, we probably would have a Wizard's Lizard on Switch right now. And that would be amazing, right? But because it was a Wii U dev kit, we just, I don't know. Like, Switch is just a superior system in my mind. But I don't know. We'll see. I think really, like, my next game, if it does really, like, it would need to do well enough on Steam to where I could probably get some people to help me get it onto console. So, like, you know, it's, I don't expect my next game to make a ton of money, but if it does make enough to recruit some help, then that'd be awesome. I'd love to get on consoles.
Nice, that'd be cool.
Are you far enough into the game to give us an idea of what Witchmoor is about?
Yeah, So I recently kind of switched things up. It's a sandbox game where you are a witch and you can choose if you want to be a good witch or you want to be an evil witch. You can like kidnap a baby and use it in sacrificial magic to like.
I already love blood this curse. Game.
Awesome. Oh, I'm happy to hear it. You can have a cute little cat familiar and you can organize your house and you can collect mushrooms and make potions and brews. And I'd always plans to have some roguelike elements to it. Where there's like grottos you can go visit and dungeons you can explore. But basically, I had to scope things back a little bit. So now what I'm doing is it's a the kind of meat of the game is going to be a Bullet Hell Arena gameplay. So it's going to be similar to, you know, something kind of like Vampire Survivors or 20 Minutes Till Dawn or Brotato. There's a bunch of games like that right now, which are kind of seen as like, I don't know what you call them. There's not an official name yet. It's like casual bullet hell roguelikes or bullet heavens, I've heard people call them. But basically, Jacob, you're going to be a witch.
Love that.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's, yeah. I mean, everyone I know has played Vampire Survivors by now. And so when I mentioned that, like, that's kind of what I'm going for is I want to make a game people are actually like, oh, I'm interested in that versus like, it's hard sometimes to make a game. You know, you're making a game, people hear about it and they're like, okay. But I want to make a kind of game where people are like, oh, I actually want to play it. And that's one of the reasons I'm going for that kind of gameplay that's popular right now. Plus, I love it myself. Like, the first two games I made were twin-stick shooters. So this is almost like a less than that even.
New question about this. Is the art style going to be super cutesy?
I have a cartoony art style. I do. I use a 18-color palette, and I draw with kind of big shapes. So the witch is a little cutie pie. She is, yep.
All right. I just... When I play
that's
games,
all she
witches,
wanted
I
to
like
know.
Her be- yeah, I like there being lots of pastels and stuff in witch games. It just looks really pretty, and I like it that way.
Oh, well, I hope you like the palette. It's definitely very cutie pie. Lots of cute things in it. A Wizard's Lizard, you say you may have heard about that one. I did the art for that one.
Familiar.
It's that art style. It's the exact same palette, even. I'm literally using the same palette from that game. But the art style is tweaked just a little bit. My lines are thinner now. I add more detail now. But other than that, it will end up looking a lot like a Wizard's Lizard, just hopefully better, if I can pull that off.
Okay.
Love these questions.
So some fun news. But yeah. Jacob made it. Jacob, how are you doing?
Ooh.
Not great.
Back to important information. Indeed. Is the cat the only familiar you can have, or can you get different familiars?
I love that question. I have in all of my notes, I use the word familiar because I don't want to commit to one. But I am gearing up to do a lot of work on cats. I think I'm going to start with cats. And, you know, like a lot of stuff, I have way too many ideas and I'm only a solo dev, so I've got to cut back. I want to have all of the witch staples you expect, like cats, owls, demons, maybe some lizards, snakes. I want to have all that, but I might not be able to do it all. So I'm going to start with cats, and I'm going to have, you know, oh, I love it. Yeah, I'm going to have, you know, black cat. You got to have a black cat. I'm going to have like an orange tabby. I'm going to have cats that are kind of inspired by the ones I grew up with.
Models for the cats. I can hook you up with plenty of cat pictures.
Yes, please. Do you have a picture of yourself covered with all 18?
No, I do not have a picture of myself covered in all the cats. That would be amazing. I think the most cats we've ever gotten in one picture recently is 11.
That's a lot of cats.
Yeah.
The more unfortunate cats part is that Joe's naked, except from some very well-placed cats.
Censorship cats.
You love it.
Poor kitties. The poor kitties. Even though this is a joke, I still feel bad for them all anyways.
So, Jacob, this is Matt Hackett. He came on to hang out and chat with us. We kind of tackled most of the actual interview.
Yeah.
Good. Shocking no one.
So, what game?
Do you have any questions?
What game are we talking about?
We were just talking about my upcoming game, Witchmore, which is it's a witch sandbox with Bullet Hell Arena gameplay that I'm...
Okay.
I always feel bad talking about it before I have my Steam page up. Because I'm like, you know, in 2 or 3 months, you'll hear me saying nothing but go wishlist it. But for now, I'm like, oh, I'm working on it. But it's coming. I'm excited about it.
Okay, so it's not cold yet, though, right?
So, what's that?
you haven't gone gold with it, or like,
yeah, exactly, not, right.
Okay.
haven't yes. sold zero copies so far, but
still working on it. You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
See, I like this time now more than the later time because I'm not being inundated with go listed on Steam because I hear that about 50 times a day already.
So I prefer
when I learn about things before then because it's like, oh, good. I just get information about the game and I'm good. I will, if I like the look of it, I'll wait until it's on there. I'll remember it.
Yeah. Let me get your thoughts on this. Is I'm a little on the fence about early access. What do you think about early access?
That one's really hard because there's a lot of people who like playing things on early access, and that can really give you a lot of information, especially if people are actually talking about it to you, letting you know about bugs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always really hit or miss whether people start really buying into it or not. And then on top of that, if any of them are really willing to talk about it instead of just being like, oh, this game sucks in the end, because lots of people just on Steam are not what I would call remotely useful. So I'm always conflicted about that. I personally think it's a good idea if you can do it, just because there's a chance that something good would happen. However, that also has a tendency to eat into people's bottom line, because usually you want to sell it a little cheaper during early access because it's not the full game and they're going to be dealing with bugs and stuff. So it's really more, can you afford that? If so, I think
price during early access is a really important thing. We mentioned Vampire Survivors. Do you think Vampire Survivors would have been as massive as it was if it weren't $3? What if it were a $10 game?
I don't think anyone would have bought it.
Yeah, I think you're right. If it were $10 from the very beginning, I don't think any of us would be talking about it. Not to say it wouldn't still be a great game, it's just that it wouldn't have taken off the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
People really like getting things as deals. So,
do you have this habit on Steam? Do you notice that you are like, I'm not going to buy anything full price ever in my life? You know what I mean?
Me personally, I am on Social Security disability, so yes, I refuse to buy anything that's over $20 or more than
unless it's a Gundam model,
50% off. Yeah, those I don't have a choice. I wait for 50% or better deals and for them to be under $20. But that's because I'm a little tighter for money than most people. So for me, that's a big thing. For the average person, I think obviously everyone likes a deal if they can get it. But then you have people like Joe who are psychotic.
Consumer whores.
Yeah, they buy everything immediately.
I really want, I'll get right away.
Joe, how many games do you currently have? He has like 6,000 games. He's probably played a couple hundred. I'm pretty sure you said you had 5,000 and something.
I do have 5,000.
See, he's a consumer whore. He'll buy it immediately. You get people like that.
I've been getting review codes on this show for like 8 years. So that shit adds up too.
I have a feeling you probably bought 60% of those. Yeah, you've bought most of the games you own.
I've only ever bought like 7 games ever.
Mm-hmm, I don't believe that at all.
Last week.
You mean yesterday, maybe? That I'd believe more.
we don't have any money this week, so next week I'll probably buy some shit.
Very nice. Do y'all ever go to Target? You know, the retail store? Yeah. Like, they have, most of them have this thing now, when you walk in, there's this big area right by where the carts are, where everything is like a buck. It's like a dollar store area. Mm-hmm. Like, at most, it's like $3 or something. And it's all pretty, like, geared towards cheap and quick and easy and kind of cute and, you know, little like candles or like little crayons or papers or hats or something, cups, right? I saw someone compare Vampire Survivors, and this is back when it was just $3, to more like that, to where you're not waiting for a sale. You don't even, like your filter goes down, you're not analyzing the game as much. You know what I mean? Like if it's a $30 game, you'll sit there and read reviews and you'll figure out what people liked about it, didn't like about it. You'll wait for a sale, yeah. You wish list it, you watch it. But if it's just like a $3 game, you're like, I don't care. My favorite streamer says it's fun. It's $3. It's not on sale. I don't care. I'm just going to finally pull that trigger. And you're getting past all that, all those shields that I think, you know, veteran Steam users, like if you're a Steam user, you have those filters. Like you're looking for the games that are only overwhelmingly positive. You're looking for games that are 80% off or more. And like, I think that, yeah, like Vampire Survivors with that, and now it's $5. They raised the price. What do you think? Is it still there?
Absolutely.
Is it still in that spot though? But is it in that golden, you know what I mean?
Once it hits above $7, $8, then people start analyzing it. If it's below that, usually lots of people are like, oh, I'll get it because it's cheaper. Oh, fuck it. Why not? It's not.
Yeah, that's actually one of our ratings on this show is fuck it. Why not? When it's so cheap, seriously, just fuck it. Buy it. It's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do have one publisher that I usually start off my reviews with, like, all right, we all know why we're here.
Why not?
It's $5.
Rattalaika game.
Easiest 1K achievements you're ever going to do. All right. Like,
Rattalaika. Yeah.
Z1. No, actually not them. Yeah.
Oh.
I wasn't going to name names.
There's a couple that are like that, but I don't know.
So that's a threshold for you? It's what, $6 or $7 or so?
Around there.
Yeah, that seems to be the threshold for generally everybody. After that, they start thinking about it and wanting to know what people think about it. But under about $7, you're generally fine. Okay. They'll just lap it up.
Nice. Yeah, I kind of feel like I might definitely, if I go early access, they'll price it more like that, to where you don't want to trigger the thinking. You just want people to go, oh, which game? It's like $5, like sure, no problem.
Exactly. It may not get a whole ton of people that way, but it should hopefully be enough to help you find bugs and stuff, which is always helpful. And to help you fine tune, like, oh, this is too dark, or I can't see stuff in this area, things like that, which is always helpful, and it makes the end product much better.
Yeah.
So basically, Aki is offering to QA test your game.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time I've done it.
Sweet.
I've queued a couple of the games that I've reviewed for here and for IGT at this point. Awesome. So, you know, I'm not against it, but... just really, do I have time to do it? And that's always the harder thing, because I do usually 100 or so reviews for here, and then I do another week. I wish if only I had the time. If I had the time, I would do it. And then I usually do another 50 of them over.
No one wants to listen to you that much. No.
I know, over at another place, but I also edit reviews for other people there, post them, get them games, so on and so forth, because I run the other place. So being QA is difficult when you have that much crap going on.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, just a little bit. But it gets me lots of free games, so what do I care?
There you go.
I've bought maybe 20 games in the past 2 or 3 years, so I'm doing pretty good.
All right, now how many Gunpla have you bought?
In the past 3 months, 21. A 24th, or yeah, 24th is just, or 22nd just came in.
You're not helping your case.
You're just digging that hole deeper.
Yeah, I buy more Gunpla than I do games at this point.
And no, we are straying far from the topic at hand, but Matt, yes. we got to get on to news. Did you want to stick around, chat news with us?
Sure.
Cool.
Kick me out whenever you want, but yeah.
Oh, we'll kick you out when it's review time, because no one wants to sit around for that shit.
I don't even want to sit around for it, and I'm seriously doing two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, we could kick you out too if it makes you feel better.
Me?
Can you kick yourself out? Can you kick your own butt?
Joe, you have to be here. I'm not giving you that option. But Jacob doesn't.
No, he has to be here for his reviews. But news, did y'all see the Xbox and Bethesda Developer Direct this week?
No.
Nope. I saw a Developer Direct, but it didn't just focus on Bethesda, I don't think. I mean, it had Arcane or whatever studios in there.
That's Bethesda.
For Redfall. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did watch that. It was, well, it existed. It had like 5 or 6 games it showed.
Yeah, I did not watch the Direct because I slept through it. I did catch all the notes, though. There's only a hint, like you said, there's only a handful of games that were actually shown off. They showed off a game called Hi-Fi Rush, which is a brand new game from Tango Gameworks and is available right now.
Right now.
On Steam and PC on Game Pass. It is a rhythm action game. Has anyone played it?
I think Scotty has, but none of us have. You will like it, though, Joe, because it's very much a rhythm-based, like, Sunset
Overdrive. Oh, yeah, I've seen the soundtrack for it. It looks great. I'm very eager to get to it once I actually have time.
Rhythm and action. Interesting. Yeah. Has anybody played Pistol Whip, by chance?
Nope.
No.
Isn't that for PlayStation?
Yeah, well, it's a VR game. I don't know if they've released it yet, just like standard PC. But it's a shooter game, right? It's sort of like John Wickish or something, like you're shooting baddies. But it's to the beat, right? So it's like got a rhythm element to it. Anyway, it just made me think of that.
I haven't seen that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, it was like a... Yeah, I thought it was like a PlayStation VR game, because... I remember like the announcements and trailers for it, and I was just like, "Oh man, that looks awesome!" But I'll never get a chance to play it.
It is currently on Steam. It came out a couple years ago on Steam.
Steam.
It might be Steam VR, perhaps. There's a fair amount of games that kind of like. There's this game I play with my wife and some friends a lot called Demio, which plays like a classic like Dungeons and Dragons style board game where you're moving your pieces around a dungeon and dungeon crawling, fighting dragons and whatnot. And it was VR only for a long time, but they recently bridged that gap, and now it's on Steam just like desktop. So like all of a sudden I can play it with almost all my friends, right? Whereas it used to be just my friends, you know, a few friends who had a headset. But like it's the kind of gameplay where it doesn't have to be VR. Like some games sort of have to, like Beat Saber, I don't know. Like would that work if it weren't VR?
No.
But Demio works great. Yeah. Like, and I'm not sure about Pistol Whip. Like maybe you could play it with a mouse or a gamepad. I don't know. But, you know, it definitely works great with VR. But yeah, Hi Rush looks pretty cool. I like the integration of the rhythm stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm eager to give that one a go. And it's been taking off. It's been getting pretty popular. It's been getting a lot of positive buzz online. So maybe this is an early surprise success for Microsoft for the year. They showed off new footage for Minecraft Legends, which looks like it's a PvP strategy game. It's going to be releasing on all platforms April 18th.
Strategy. That's wild.
Jacob, what the hell are you doing?
I'm not doing anything, dude. Are
you messing with your mic?
No. I'm just sitting here, pantsless.
What the hell's clicking so much? Pantsless, you dick. Redfall is launching Series X and S on PC. It doesn't matter. Redfall is launching on Series X and S on PC May 2nd.
Nice. Lots of people are going to be happy about that.
I am worried that it's a full price $70 game. I don't know. How accessible will it be to a single player gamer? That's what I want to know.
I don't think it will be. People keep suddenly out of nowhere are saying that it's less like Left 4 Dead and more like Far Cry, which I don't really see that at all. I still very much think it's going to be a Left 4 Dead type game, just with vampires. Because even in all the gameplay they showed during the Direct, it was like, okay, this is still Left 4 Dead. So I don't think if you're playing a solo, I don't think you're probably going to enjoy it that much. That seems to be a very, you know, grab some friends, go enjoy yourself type of game.
And we'll find out more in May, but then they showed off some Elder Scrolls Online stuff, and I tuned out completely.
Can I say?
Yeah, I saw ESO and I skipped it.
I'm sure Elder Scrolls is a perfectly cromulent game. I'm glad people like it, have fun with it. But like, I almost resent it because I just know that it's taking up some development time that they could spend on Six. Yeah. Elder Scrolls 6, and that's like all I care about. Like, I will always pay attention a little bit to Bethesda news going on, even though I play Elder Scrolls, and that's almost all that I play from them. But I am like a ravenous beast. Like the moment Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, like when Skyrim came out, this is the last time I've done this in my life, probably ever.
Which time?
Which one of the 100 releases? The one that came out with, I guess it was the first one, the big dragon. Like, I went all out. I was like, I loved Oblivion so much. I got the like collector's pack that came with all the crap, you know. I'll never do that again. Like, I was at a GameStop at midnight. It was like, I'm never gonna do that again. But that's how ravenous I am for Elder Scrolls 6 news. So I see, I'm like, Elder Scrolls, oh, it's online, whatever.
See, if I was going to be interested in the ESO games, the Elder Scrolls games, I'd probably be more interested in ESO because it doesn't have anywhere near as many bugs.
You know what's funny? I kind of like the bugs.
Not a mess. Like, unless the people do, and I don't get it.
Like, okay, I will admit that, like, Oblivion had this bug that prevented me from completing one of the guild quests, which is like this massive multi-step a quest to get an achievement, and at the end it was so bugged out I couldn't earn the achievement. That sucks, and you don't want those kinds of bugs, but the kinds where they're just hilarious, I find them charming. And like, I almost prefer them. Like, it makes me a little sad when they get too stable. Like, I want more bugs in my Elder Scrolls games.
It drives me nuts because they've had the exact same system and they've been working on it for over 20 years and they still can't put out a game that isn't riddled with bugs. You'd think they'd figure something out. At some point, they would learn 1 + 1 = 2 instead of 87.
Aki, when your game comes out, I'm going to look forward to reviewing it.
Okay. Do you know what I've been watching recently are these classic postmortems. I recently watched the one from Qbert, and it was so interesting to hear them, the developer, talk about, like, we got to the point where we had so much memory. We had 100 bytes of our kilobytes of memory, 100K. It was so much we couldn't even know what to do with that. What do you do with 100K? And I was like, that's like nothing now. That's like, you know, 30 seconds of MP3 storage these days. Like, you know, that's the problem, right? Is that computers are like, as we get more powerful computers and as, games get better and better, like we just fill it full of crap. Like the bar, as computers get quicker, we slow it down with worse software and more bloated software, you know?
Yeah, bloatware's always fun.
Oh, yeah. So it was planned obsolescence, but, you know, meh.
I think my phone is going through that right now. Like, I don't get Facebook notifications anymore. I don't get email notifications anymore. It just doesn't do shit that I want it to do anymore. I think it's telling me
reset it.
I have so much music on there.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on?
Multiple times, dickhead.
Usually, if you factory reset it and put everything back on there, it'll start working significantly better.
Yeah, I just don't want to.
Have you stopped shoving your phone in your beehole and then texting yourself?
Stop
projecting. Wow, there we go.
The amount of control that would require.
We figured it out. We triaged the problem. Find a solution.
You'd make a lot of guys happy if you had that kind of control. I'm just saying.
Anyway, last bit of news from the Xbox Direct was Forza. They showed off some new footage of Forza. It looks jaw-droppingly gorgeous. I am worried.
Like the last one.
Yeah, I am worried that they're now just saying 2023 instead of spring 2023. So I don't know if
it'll come out when it's ready. It's fine.
Yeah, that means 2024.
Yeah, the problem is they need shit to release. Like, you know, Hi-Fi Rush is cool, but they need more shit to release.
They need to make Forza Street 2.
Oh, no, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
What they need to stop doing is being like, look how pretty the cars are in this already photorealistic game that is now the next game is photorealistic, just like the last one and the one before that. That's not a selling point anymore.
Yeah, Forza has always been a visual showcase, so they're not going to stop that with the new game, with the new hardware.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying don't make it like that. Don't tell us about that, because we already know that. That's like being like, oh, this new football game has football in it. We know that. It's a football game. Tell us about the other stuff in it that actually now matters, because that's no longer a selling point, because it's obvious.
Dude, that reminds me so much of is I'm working on my trailer for my upcoming game, and it comes up all the time where, like, a lot of indies do this, especially where they were like, they got the trailer, show some gameplay, and then they show some text, right? And the text a lot of times is stuff where you're like, So it'll be like, you know, lots of monsters, hundreds of levels, or hundreds of guns, or just stuff, you know, monsters to kill, bosses to fight. And you're like, yeah, I know, like, it says dungeon crawler, like, I expect it to be but they still, like, they make a point to bring that up. Yeah. The stuff that you expect.
Right? Yeah, like, that's the stuff that I don't want to hear when I'm looking at this.
Right.
It's like, no shit. Like,
it's almost redundant. It's like a given.
Yeah, like, I don't need the next Borderlands game to be like, they have 5 trillion guns. No, right.
Yeah, but it becomes like, it's one of those things where it's like kind of also become like a technological pissing contest. And honestly, I fault the Matrix, the Path of Neo for it, which is, I know it's pretty far out of left field on this, but if you recall the marketing for it, they were kept constantly bragging about how you could have 1 million different characters on the screen all at the same time, and there wasn't graphic slowdown, and, like, you know, all that other kind of shit. And, like, everyone's oohing and aahing, and it's winning Best of E3 and Spike TV Video Game Awards, like, all that other kind of stuff. The game played like absolute shit. Like, nobody ever stopped to think, like, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, it's cool that you could do this, but is your game actually good? Like,
and no. that's honestly what I'm hearing is the big issue with Forspoken. Is that, yeah, the writing is great. That it's just not fun.
The writing in it seems to be what's the writing?
No, I haven't seen any of the writing, so I'm not gonna judge until I see it.
Oh, I've seen so many clips, and the writing is so bad.
Joe hasn't seen any of the writing because he doesn't know how to read.
True, true, very true. The writing's atrocious, but it's just hilarious. I kind of love it. It's really bad, but it's so cringe that I love it.
I'm like half tempted to pick it up on PC because you could get it on the Windows 10 store with Xbox achievements. Which, nice. I think it's hilarious that the game is on PC with full Xbox capabilities, and Sony's like, oh, it's not going to be available on Xbox until 2025. Yeah, close enough. Good enough. Achievements are there.
I'll get it when it comes out in 2025. I want it. I don't care how god-awful it is.
Are we even going to remember it in 2025?
No. Do we remember Babylon's Fall?
Yes. I mean, and it was
terrible. But it only shut down like a couple of months ago.
It was only a couple months ago.
I don't think
it was even that far. I don't know. Anyway, a bunch of stuff coming to Game Pass today. Available right now. We got Hi-Fi Rush, which we talked about. It's available on cloud, PC, and the series. Also available tonight. Right now, you can get it. GoldenEye 007 is finally out.
Oh, shit.
Hell yeah. I want to see what the achievements are like.
Cloud and console. It is also hitting Switch Online tomorrow. You can play it there if you want. RoboQuest is hitting January 30th on Xbox Game Preview. And then on the 31st, we are getting Age of Empires 2 on console. Hell yeah.
On console?
Yes, launches straight to console Game Pass.
Okay, yep. I wouldn't have expected that. That is very much a PC game. Interesting.
Yes, and now it's coming to console. Inculinati is hitting everything, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R.
Quite a name.
Well, we now know what Brooke's going to be doing for the next month.
She doesn't have Game Pass, does she?
I thought she did.
Oh.
I'll have to ask her.
Anyway, February 2nd, Darkest Dungeon is hitting Game Pass, as well as Grid Legends hitting Cloud. And then February 7th, Jacob, Hot Wheels Game of the Year is finally hitting Game Pass.
I already own it twice.
Well, it's going to be on Game Pass.
Yay. I mean, congratulations to all the people who are now going to play it now that the game is done releasing all DLC and you can't go back and get any of the racing season cars. Yay.
Leaving Game Pass. We mentioned these last episode, but we got to tackle them again just to remind everyone. Donut County is leaving, Telling Lies, Worms WMD, and Taiko no Tatsujin, the Drum Master, are all leaving Game Pass on the 31st, February 1st, somewhere in that area.
Some of that is just really sad because some of those are really good games.
Like, what happens with those? Do they become paid, or are they just no longer on the platform at all?
Oh, they're still there. You can buy them. Yeah,
they're just not on Game Pass anymore.
Yeah,
I see.
That would suck if they just delisted them completely. Like, fuck you! You never have to play this shit.
I may have to sign up for Game Pass again.
So pissed.
If you are worried about the fact that Taiko no Tatsujin won't be there, keep an eye on our Twitter, because next week we'll be starting our SML 10th anniversary contest, and Taiko is just one of the currently 87 different games available in our prize pool. People are going to win a lot of shit.
I am jealous of at least one game on that list.
There's...
I've seen the list, people. It is amazing.
There's been stuff added.
Oh, shit. You're going to have to show me the updated list just so I know how jealous uplated? I need to be.
Uplated.
What's the correct word?
Updated.
Updated. Yes. Send me that.
Shout out to Ubisoft, who just today came through with gold editions for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Far Cry 6, Immortals, and Watch Dogs Legion.
Okay, I'm very jealous. All right.
Gold. Gold editions, people. You get it all. So pay attention to when that contest starts. It is going to be good.
Sweet.
Let's see. Crystal Dynamics is pulling the plug on the Avengers. The game will end development with the 2.8 update on March 31st. All in-game purchases will be ending, and all in-game content will be made free. Spider-Man will stay exclusive, and Sony can still eat a dick. Support for the game will end completely on September 30th, though it will remain playable. It will be removed from sale.
Damn.
Yes, so yeah, Avengers is going away.
So I'll finally pick it up, you know, before the end of September. But
you could find it for under $10.
Oh, dude, I'm just gonna buy it digitally. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, and then you'll have every. I wonder if that also includes all the brand new characters and stuff. I don't know if they were paid for or what through something else, or if that was just free in the shop as well.
I don't know. I haven't fired up the game in a long time.
I'm disgusted that you even had the game. But
I fired it up once when it was with Game Pass, and I was not impressed.
You're surprised I have the game?
I'm not surprised. Disgusted that you have the game. There's a difference.
How about the fact that I got the collector's edition for like clearance prices? I got the Captain America statue over there. I got the Hulk bobblehead.
I'm ashamed and disgusted now. Thank you.
Good. Good. Some crazy news. Justin Roiland is out at Rick and Morty, as well as resigning from Squanch Games for all the shitty shit that he did. What do you guys think of all the news that came out about him?
Honestly, it doesn't shock me.
Yeah. My wife said, like, once you figure out, like, who all he voices in cartoons, she was just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense that he's a piece of shit in real life, too. Yeah, I found out that he does Lemon Grab for Adventure Time, and I was just like, huh, explains why he's so fucking annoying.
Yeah, I didn't hear exactly what happened, but I heard the news going around.
He got arrested for domestic violence.
Ugh, that sucks.
And they're also looking into him for online messages that he sent to someone who was apparently a minor.
No. Oh, right.
Of course. Of fucking course.
Yeah.
Why can't people be good?
Because people are disgusting creatures.
Yes.
Yeah, no word on what this is going to do for High on Life, considering that just came out last month.
The people working on it said that they were going to continue ahead. He had has nothing to do with it anymore. But yeah,
he resigned completely from Squanch.
Yeah. But they said they're going to continue it. So. Yeah. Well, I think he's all of the talking guns.
No, I think he's just one of the guns.
Really?
Maybe two. Yeah, they have celebrities voicing other ones. I know JB Smoove is one of them, I think.
Oh, cool.
I have no idea who that is.
If you heard him, you would.
He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's like the housemate.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, last bit of news I have is that Journey to the Savage Planet is getting an Employee of the Month re-release on February 14th with 4K and 60 frames per second on the Series X and PS5. The Hot Garbage DLC is included, and it's a free upgrade for existing owners. Saves do not carry over, so you'll have to start fresh on this one.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So that means that there's going to be two separate achievement lists for it?
Probably, yeah.
Ugh.
Why? That's usually a selling point for some people.
Yeah, I know, but...
So yeah, that's the news I have. And either of you have any news, or Richter, any news, Ricked Dog, any news on your end that you would like to discuss news with us?
Jeez. I was recently talking to a friend on another podcast, and they were like, what were your favorite games from 2022? And I'm like, I just drew a blank. I'm like, games.
What came out in 2022? I don't even remember 2022.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys might be joking. You guys might be joking. I legitimately do not remember anything but one game that came out last year.
What was it?
The Plague Tale Requiem, and that's because I bought the collector's edition. That's the only reason I remember it. Otherwise, I don't remember any game that came out last year. I've played okay, good. I'm many not the only one. That they all just blend together into one massive, I played games last year. Because I probably played like 4,000 or 5,000 hours of games. I have no idea what I played anymore.
Wow. Yeah, 2020 up until now has just been like 1 year, and so it all blurs, and I'm like, I don't know.
It's just 2020 part four right now.
All I play is Spelunky 2, and that's it.
I play Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Sweet.
And then we play review games, which I guess we should move on and tackle.
Whoa. News.
I asked if you had news, and you didn't say shit.
I didn't get a chance to, because you were asking our guests.
Hurry up, out with it, then. Co-host.
Come on, chat.
Hurry up.
So anyway, they released the roadmap for the rest of the, or for the first half of this year for Disney Dreamlight Valley. Unfortunately, I don't have my computer handy, so I don't have like an exact
the
listing.
News you're saying is useless. Okay.
Joe, would you be able to dig it up real quick?
No.
Oh, come on, Joe. Come on, man. do it, Joe. Let him have some use.
Let's see. February, they are... Oh, my God. The text is so small on this thing. Let me open it up. Meet an exceptional new villager and a special Samoan.
Oh, they posted on Steam. I see it.
Then April, wait, no. We got Lion King. Is it
us? I was going to say...
Snowman. It's a special snowman. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, the picture I'm dealing with has like super minuscule text.
I was just what the fuck are you talking about? They already got people from Moana on there.
I shared the picture. You could load up the picture and see how friggin' tiny that text is in the picture. I can't read that shit. It's like the subtitles at the very beginning of Risen, the new port that they put out. Oh, my Lord. They were so tiny.
I was playing Dragon Quest Builders on Switch. I had to like get out a magnifying glass to read the pop-up menus. The text was so damn small.
Like when you make your game, make sure all the text is readable.
Yeah,
or my wife could at least mess with the size of it.
Yeah, she's always saying that. She's like, make your text bigger, or like an option. Yeah, like why not make it an option?
All right, Joe, where's this picture that you found
in Twitch chat?
Oh, in Twitch chat.
It's on True Achievements. It's on... Oh, my Lord, you're...
Yeah.
April, Lion King. Early summer, I think you mentioned that a princess races into the valley, which you had your guess being who?
It's Vanilla. She's the only one that fits. It's Vanellope from Wreck-It Ralph.
And they have new Star Paths celebrating the 100th anniversary, Disney Parks, and new announcements coming. And then also in 2023, multiplayer is coming, more characters, more realms, more clothing, more furniture.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not excited about the multiplayer. Like, I mean, it's one thing if it's like a Fable 2, you can invite the other person into your world kind of thing. But I don't want this thing turning into like some... actual MMO. And the other thing is, like, during that timeline reveal, the guy who's in charge was answering questions, and somebody asked whether we'll ever see Marvel and Star Wars characters in there, and apparently he dodged it, like the question. So I'm not going to lie with that one either. I really don't want Marvel and Star Wars showing up in here. Just my opinion.
Oh, I always forget that they own Marvel now. They own like everything. They could put like anything they want into this game, right?
Yeah, I mean, in up until they owned Star Wars, like there was serious talk that they were going to end up buying Hasbro and then get Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Everything is Disney now.
Yay.
Now all restaurants are Taco Bell.
Nah, man. Jacob, any other news you got?
No, I don't have any other news.
All right. Well, Matt, I guess we will wrap up with you. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us.
Thanks for letting me hang out with you guys. I appreciate it. I really do.
Pimp all your stuff one more time. Where can people keep up to date with you, what you're doing? Where's your book? What's it called? How much is it? Give us all the info.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So, name's Matt Hackett. Check me out on Twitter at Rictor. My book, How to Make a Video Game All by Yourself. Super cheap. It's 200 pages. Quick read. It's $15 on Amazon. Get yourself a paperback. It's $10 on Kindle and other digital marketplaces. You can find that and my newsletter and my podcast called Make the Game. All that's at Valadria.com, VALADRIA.com. You are good people. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you coming on
the show.
It has cool. been way right. too long, and hopefully you get to MAGFest again soon.
Oh, yeah. I'd love it. Yeah, hopefully I'll see you there in the future. Thanks so much for having me. Great to meet you all. I'll see you online.
All right, have yourself a good night. Thank you again.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, review time. You ready for reviews? If I could say reviews. Reviews.
For totals.
Reviews. Reviews. We ready?
No.
Yep.
First game to talk about tonight is Monster Hunter Rise, developed and published by Capcom. Released January 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4 and PS5 for $39.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Rise to the challenge and join the hunt in Monster Hunter Rise, the latest installment in the award-winning and top-selling Monster Hunter series. You'll become a hunter, explore brand new maps, and use a variety of weapons to take down fearsome monsters as part of an all-new storyline. Jacob, what is Monster Hunter Rise?
So, I tried to answer that question myself because, I mean, the series has been around for a number of years, but I've never actually, like, dipped my toes into it. And so, when this one got offered up, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's find out what, you know, what the whole series is about. I mean, it had a movie. I mean, how bad could it be? I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet, actually. Have either of you?
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh. Aki?
What movie? I'm sorry. I spaced out.
Oh, my
Monster.
God.
We're talking about Monster.
We're talking about Gone with the Wind, Aki. Have you seen Gone with the Wind?
Yes. Yes, I have. Numerous times. It's an okay movie.
Why?
So Jacob, tell us about Monster Hunter Rise.
Okay. So with this is a new entry into the series, and you get to create your own character, and there's lots of customization that you could do from the start. You also get to customize like your huge wolf dog thing that you get to ride around on. You've got a cat partner who does stuff. Like, I'm not really sure what the point of them is. And then eventually you'll also get an owl who I named Hootie. and they send messages, we'll give you gifts and all that kind of stuff. But the game initially starts you off because it assumes that you haven't played any of the series. It tries to do a tutorial. And it tries to do a tutorial. Like, let me make that clear, because it's called a tutorial, but it's really you just flipping through a lot of menus, and then it's like, and then you have to do this, and this, and this, and this, and then you have to press this button, and da-da-da-da-da. You got it? Good. Off you go. And you're just like, what?
It was a very overwhelming start to the game. Like,
it's a super overwhelming start.
Trying to navigate the town, trying to figure out who does what, who helps you start things. Like, I didn't even know that there were training missions in the game until I died in two other missions. And then I talked to the other lady, and she's like, oh, you could do these training missions. I was like, thanks for.
Yeah. And the training missions help because they then break everything down into much smaller chunks. But I'm not going to lie. Even then, it was, I've found it still to be very overwhelming to try to do on a controller. And I'm wondering if this game plays better on a PC, like as a keyboard where you could just bind a specific key to like every single thing. But yeah, so you go through the world. There's all these different characters that you have to interact with, different areas that you could, like different lands that you could travel to, like forests, fields.
Are you messing mountain. With the mic arm or something on there? Because it
like, no, my hands are literally empty. Like,
it sounds like something's jiggling when you're talking.
Yeah, it sounds like something's like maybe the headset, the ear part is jerking from side to side, causing
like something's making some kind of rattling noise when you're talking. I don't know if it's the arm or
I just readjusted it. So let's see if that works.
Nope, just did it again.
Yay!
All right, hold on. No, because the thing is that it means that. Just give me a second.
There it went again and again.
Shut up.
And again. I'm just letting you know so you can figure out what you're doing.
It's probably unplugging. I don't think
he probably is. I wonder if maybe.
Okay. How about now?
I don't know. We'll find out as you keep talking. All right. So back to the review.
Back to the review. So yeah. So you go into all these different areas and. Every single place that you're allowed to travel to looks absolutely beautiful. And honestly, I'd rather just wander around the worlds. You're given these missions where you have to hunt down these monsters, hence why it's called Monster Hunter. And initially, you're given guides on how to do it, but you're just kind of sent out on these missions, it's like, okay, well, you can either do it by yourself, but we kind of also recommend doing it with friends. And that's when you find out that recommendation of, maybe you should do it with some friends is actually like, no, they're super serious about that. You really should be doing this with friends because you do this by yourself and you're going to get your ass handed to you like every single time. And so pretty much I just kept getting the crap getting knocked out of me. My character's weapons moved slower than I would have liked, but I assume that I don't know if like later on, like your character just is able to like swing the sword quicker or like it's just you upgrade better sword. A lot of it comes
down to what weapon you choose. Did you change the weapon or are you still using like the great sword that they start you with?
I'm still using the great sword.
I would go to the weapon seller and check your equipment and like find a quicker weapon. That's okay. one of the hardest things that I had to do with Monster Hunter is I had to get used to using lighter, faster weapons because otherwise you take a swing at something and you miss and there's all this recovery time with great swords and warhammers and all these massive weapons and you need to be prepared. I haven't found a lock-on system for this game. I don't think there is with targeting monsters. So you could just swing wildly
there's one to aim your camera at it, but it's not like a permanent lock. I forget. Yeah,
it was the left bumper, but I know if you hold that, that's like how you switch your items and like everything is so convoluted with the controls in this game. I would constantly find myself mashing X to attack, but that's to use an item where Y is attack.
And so you'd end up using all your health before you even like needed to do it. And you still haven't swung your sword and they just knock the shit out of you. So you're on the ground.
And there is when you get knocked down and staggered, you'll get taken out easily. And they'll cart you back to the beginning of the level and you'll lose rewards and you'll have to start all over.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a newbie, it's definitely a frustrating experience. I'm assuming that seasoned veterans of the series are already used to this kind of gameplay. But I'm not going to lie. As a newbie, it kind of turned me off from wanting to explore like the series further. And so, honestly, like if you are going to get it, and it's not that this isn't a competent game. I mean, it looks gorgeous, and I'm sure if you can get a good party going, of other people to play with. Like, this thing's an absolute blast, but if you're trying to do this solo, like, forget it. Like,
I mean, one of the benefits, the biggest benefit with this game is that it's on Game Pass, and that's how I played the game. Like, we got the one code for you to check it out, courtesy Capcom, so thank you, Capcom, for providing that to the show. I just grabbed it on Game Pass and downloaded it and played it that way, and yeah, it's great that it's on Game Pass. I might end up dropping the coin for the full version to support the game. I love that they're releasing this stuff on Xbox. I'm going to be putting more time into it because I want to get good at these games. I had a blast when I was playing Dauntless with friends, and this is basically Dauntless, but for real. I don't know if you're familiar with Dauntless. It was like a
cartoon. No, I didn't.
It's a free-to-play cartoony Monster Hunter style game. It's basically like easy mode Monster Hunter. And this is like the big boy Monster Hunter. And I want to get good at this because I know once these games get their hooks into you, they don't let go. There's a reason why people have hundreds of hours in these games. Mm-hmm. As it stands, it's a $40 game. What do you think of it?
$40. I mean, it's definitely worth it. That's actually lower than what I was expecting it to cost. But again, I will warn you, if you aren't going to be playing with other people, you may want to look elsewhere. Like, but if you've got people who you are definitely going to be able to play this with, or you've got a friend who is going to, like, you know, carry you through a bunch of missions until you figure everything out yourself, unless you have either of those kind of support systems, this may not be a game for you. But for $40, yeah, I would recommend it.
I would go with a try it, and because it's on Game Pass, that's, you know, the best recommendation you could give. Just download it and try it. What do you have to lose except some time?
Bandwidth.
Yeah. Memory. Memories. Anyway, next game, Wonderland Nights, White Rabbit's Diary, developed by Skyberg. What?
Question.
What?
Can you hear, like, the mic issues from earlier?
I heard it a couple times, but most of it went away.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this sucks.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to find another headset for you.
I had to take off my shirt.
Was it, like, the cord rubbing against it?
I guess, I don't know, but, like, it's either the microphone arm or the cord was, like, constantly hitting my shirt. And so I had to take off my shirt, which then led to the part that I was originally going to force Aki to play and make her hate life. Because, like, even though, like, obviously nobody could see me, I was going to force Aki to play, like, what pieces of clothing is Jacob not wearing?
I just assume all of you aren't wearing anything. It's just my natural assumption.
You just naturally assume I'm naked whenever I talk
camera.
To you?
That means nothing. As far as I'm concerned, that could just be a picture.
It could be a filter. Yeah.
I just naturally assume none of you are wearing anything. That's one of the reasons why I'm disgusted with all of you all the time.
So Aki just pictures us naked all the time. That's why she's so...
I don't picture you. I just assume.
All right. Next game to talk about tonight is Wonderland Nights White Rabbit's Diary, developed by Skybear Games, published by Rat Lake Games. Released January 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $6.99. The four nations of Wonderland meet every year to agree on shared policies and enact their various schemes against each other. There are personal vendettas to resolve and enhancements hidden everywhere. And did someone mention the dreaded Alice? You are the White Rabbit, and your job is to organize the schedule for the annual summit. Every decision you make affects the destiny of Wonderland. Aki, what's going on in Wonderland Nights?
There's actually not a lot going on. In this game, as stated, you're playing the White Rabbit, and when it says that you're deciding the fate of this place by, you know, organizing, you literally are. There's a bunch of things that happen every day. It's the same stuff each day, but you pick two people to be in each location. Like, there's a tennis court, there's a falconry, there's tea time place, etc., etc. You choose two people, and you put them in each location, and after you're done, the game starts playing itself, and you get to hear them interact with each other, and each one of the days, they're dealing with, okay, do we want to allow or disallow this thing that's being talked about this day? The first day is war, then it's magic, then I think borders, and I think there's something else, but I don't remember because I'm dumb. But anyways, when you put two people there, you know, maybe they both already agree with this, but maybe one of them can have their mind changed, either to be closed or opened. And so as you place these people, you hear their conversations, you learn any secrets about them that they talk about, which can help find other endings for the game. And basically every ending decides, you know, how the world turns out. Because, like, let's say magic's not allowed, open borders aren't allowed, but war is. Well, the entire place becomes a war-torn hellscape. Have fun. They're like, oh, everything, only magic is open. Well, now magic is filling out the whole world. People aren't really as necessary. Things like that. There's like 16 or so different endings for this game. Obviously based on, okay, this is open, these other three things are closed. Oh, this is closed, the next one's open, and then the next two are closed. So on and so forth for every option. And then you also get some specific stuff by learning different secrets throughout your playthrough. You can line things to actually solve this mystery for this character, that character, the other character. And realistically, after you've set two people up together for this specific, you know, day, generally, no matter where you put them, they might have a different opening to their conversation, but otherwise they're generally, the ending's going to be the same. They're going to decide, oh, closed, oh, open. It'll be the same no matter where you put them in day one. After you've done it once, you can kind of just skip that chunk. And they do have an option to skip unseen text and seen text. Good. Again, if you're Scotty, you can just skip everything. Because he doesn't deserve any respect. The game takes a couple hours to go through all the different options, really, because it doesn't take any real time. Once you set all the people, it plays through each thing, and you can hit A, and once you're done reading a section, just skips to the next part and just keeps going and going. So if you're a fast reader, this is a very fast game. If you're a slow reader, it's not as quick of a game. It is voice acted. I hated it. Personally, I did not like the voices.
No,
they're very. The voices make sense. Most of them are very arrogant and up their own asses, and I can't stand that. especially since they're very loud British, but not the hoity-toity type, not posh. Mm. They just are arrogant. They might as well be rednecks, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't particularly like the voices, but I really like seeing what they're saying to each other. So I just made them stop talking and read it, because all the different things you learn are pretty interesting. You get to, you know, interact with the Queen of Hearts. You get to occasionally interact with the Cheshire Cat, with the opium smoking caterpillar, whatever that thing's name was. I used to remember its name, but I don't anymore. You get to interact with all of them, as well as a bunch of characters you don't know, because the movies and the book never really dealt with the other kingdoms. Until this game, I don't even know if I knew there were other kingdoms. I thought it was all just the Queen of Hearts.
Nice.
So, it's a pretty simple, pretty quick game. That's really all I have to say about it.
Oh, it's only $7. What are your thoughts?
I think if you like quick achievements, this is for you. there's even achievement guides out there, because this was originally on Steam years ago. So, and it's just a port. So it's very quick if you just want to be like Scotty and just skip everything, make your choices, skip everything. The end. You know, very quick, very easy to get through that. If you do that, you have lost all my respect. If you like
quick, like we had your respect to begin with.
Hey, some people do. Brooke has lots of my respect. So, you know, if you like quick achievements, easy achievements, this is definitely for you. There's nothing hard about this. All the achievements are related to getting endings and things you have to do in order to get those endings. So, yeah. And if you like little visual novels, this is for you. If you hate either of those things so much that you're not willing to buy a game for it, then you won't. I think the average person will probably enjoy this game to some degree.
Cool.
So I'm for it.
Cool beans. All right, next up, we're going to do a quick revisit of Chia. We talked about this on the last episode. Our friend Andy Sperry was supposed to write in some coverage for us, and he thought it was next week. So he wrote it in now. So let's take a listen to what Andy has to say about Chia, developed and published by Awaseb, releasing 2023 for PS4, PS5, and PC, a tropical open world adventure. Climb, glide, swim, and sail your boat around a beautiful archipelago in this physics-driven sandbox. Take control of any animal or object you can find and jam on your fully playable ukulele. Let's see what Andy has to say about his time spent with Chia. Join Chia on a tropical adventure as she tries to save her father from the evil ruler Mavora. This open-world sandbox game is inspired by New Caledonia, a small island in the Pacific Ocean and the homeland of one of the co-founders. Above all else, the game is a love letter to the people who live there and their culture. Features references to local landscapes, music, language, folklore, and traditions. Created by a small team, Chia is truly a game that sits close to the heart. With plenty to do and no real push for urgency, it was hard not to get lost in the island lifestyle. I learned to sail a customizable boat through waterways, tried my hand at wood carving, entered a foot race, and even jammed on a ukulele with the local musicians. Honestly, felt like a vacation from the usual tasks of fighting monsters or grinding for NPCs. In a sense, though standbys were present, I had to grab items for the locals for a family dinner or fight the cloth minions with my trusty slingshot, but they felt like part of a discovery than a task list. Of course, there's the whole my father was kidnapped and I have to save him storyline, but even that felt kind of like an afterthought. Exploration is the main aspect of the game. Chi is armed with a few tools, a flashlight, a ukulele that affects the weather, and a slingshot to help on her journey of self-discovery and the island itself. The island is fully interactable. A player can climb, glide, and swim through every corner of this tropical world. Actions are all based around an upgradable stamina meter, similar to the most popular open-world games. Chi is also a special child, having newly discovered ability to soul link with items and animals close by. Take control of a bird and fly through the air, discover pearls on the ocean floor as a sea turtle. There's over 30 animals and tons of objects to interact with that help Chia solve puzzles and uncover secrets about the island. The names and details of the places that inspired the game have changed, but overall you really feel like you're exploring New Caledonia while playing. Soundtrack is influenced by local sonorities and performed by traditional artists. The game features characters voiced by local talent in the native languages of French and Drehu. Chia is truly inspirational and different from the usual fare put out by independent companies. As said before, it's a love letter to the islands, the people, and the culture from which its story originates. If you're looking for an enjoyable, relaxed time with plenty of exploration and secrets to uncover, I would suggest giving Chia a look when it's available later on this year. Take a look and decide for yourself when it comes out on PlayStation and PC. Thank you for reading this review from Andy Sperry. So, Andy, thank you for sending in your thoughts. Glad we were able to get on this episode, but we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is called Shoulders of Giants, developed and published by Moving Pieces Interactive, released January 26th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Simultaneously control a sword-wielding robot and a gunslinging space frog in Shoulders of Giants, an explosively colorful sci-fi roguelike. Play alone with a friend or as part of a four-person team cutting through waves of enemies on a quest to rescue the galaxy. Jacob, what is going on in Shoulders of Giants?
So you are this little frog guy controlling this huge mech. What I thought was kind of neat about it is that like the mech has its own attacks, but like the little frog guy who's piloting can also just like whip out like a six shooter and like just start blasting away at everybody else. So I thought that was pretty cool, but pretty much you are tasked with going to these planets and saving them from this like alien mystical like life force thing. Then like, so what you're doing is that you're going to all these planets, killing all the bad guys, and then it like nature gets restored to the planet, and then like you blast off to the next place, wash, rinse, repeat. And all of the mission, like, we, Joe and I, like, were discussing it, like, the other night, and we thought, like, they're all procedurally generated, or randomly generated, I should say, with it, so we're not totally sure.
Well, it bills itself as a roguelike, so I'd imagine that it's all randomly generated every time you play. I know when we would go to the mission selection, it seemed every time we would go to pick missions, they were all different, you know, three different missions, so every time was just something different to do.
Yeah. But so, like, we only did conquest missions. Well, like, was there, like, any other type?
I don't know. I just kept doing the easy ones because we sucked at the game.
Yeah, we did.
I did, like, pretty good. I remember a couple of games where
I was alive the
whole time.
You know what? Shut the fuck up. I saved the planet, like, that one time, so eat my ass. But
you died like a loser.
Anyway, so yeah, so solo play, we weren't doing so hot, so we teamed up to take on it, and we still weren't doing too hot. However, we did have a string of successes where we did manage to save a couple of planets. But yeah, like, the combat in it, as I said, most of it is going to be having a robot attacking these, like, alien things, whatever they are. And honestly, I loved just, like, slashing with, like, my huge sword and just, like, doing these spin attacks, and, like, it's all very flashy. Now, whether you're gonna get your ass kicked, that remains to be seen. But yeah, and then you could also use your frog guy too, like, to zoom in and take more precise shots at people from who were farther away. Like, there was one time where Joe was running ahead to the next objective, and I saw, like, this alien guy pop out behind him, and he's making time and, like, about to catch up with Joe, and I'm like, oh, you got a guy behind you. And Joe's like, let him come, I'm gonna kill him. But I whipped out my gun and I actually shot the guy a few times in the head and killed him for Joe. So I was like, hell yeah, this is pretty cool.
You did something. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, shut up. I did plenty of things. Man, I hate both of you. Like, Aki wasn't even there to see me play. Oh, you weren't even there. Shut up. Like, so anyway, rude. But yeah, so after you kill, like, the bad guys in, like, whatever area, like, you'll have a chance to get all these new pickups, which will grant you, like, new abilities, provided that you have the energy to support them. Like, some of these things can be shields or health packs that automatically generate, or, like, different types of weapons, or just new attacks that you could use with your weapons. The game concept, I think, is really cool. I just wish that there was a way to just dial down the difficulty a little bit. But, you know, despite dying a bunch, Joe and I were having a blast with it.
I was having a really good time with it, especially once you finally start earning some XP and putting points into skills.
Yeah,
it makes the game more fluid. It makes the game faster. I wish it wasn't so hard to get XP. I wish the progression was faster. I know that they want to encourage replayability and teaming up with friends and putting a lot of time into it. I don't have the time that this game seems to want, unfortunately.
Right.
Which is my biggest concern with the game, that people are going to want to play it, but it's just too slow progression-wise. I hope they listen to feedback, maybe increase the XP gain a little bit, maybe be a little kinder if you die during the mission. Overall, $20. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good time. I don't plan on deleting this one anytime soon. I want to play more.
For $20, even though I'm usually a cheap ass, I agree with the $20 price tag. I think that's fair for what you get. Yeah, it's a solid game. I enjoyed it.
Cool. All right, that is it for this episode. We made it through. Richter mentioned our friend Joshua Morse. So I'm going to play something from Joshua Morse this episode.
Okay.
Aki, I'm not wearing any pants.
I'm just with you already, so that doesn't really affect anything.
Nor am I wearing a shirt. Just some undies.
I hate you both. This show is over.